Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being together today and celebrating all that you are to us, all that you are to this entire world, to every person on this earth. God, thank you for being our creator, full of joy and hope. And I pray that we will absorb that hope and that we'll reflect that hope and we'll be filled with your hope and your joy. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take it away, Sammy.
Okay. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Galatians 5.
Sorry.
And all of it. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered in a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you.
Not working.
I like you guys too. Alright.
Keep going.
Okay.
Talk loud.
So
here.
I'm gonna talk loud. Can you hear me, sort of?
Sort of.
Yeah.
Alright.
Sweet, sweet.
Get the sound figured out for me here, so it'll be better. But good morning. Today we're gonna be talking about joy. We are. And my PowerPoint. Can we make that work too?
Holy.
I know. Oh, wait. No, I've got it. It's my fault.
Oh.
I've turned that on. Yeah. What's interesting about this morning is I'm going to give you guys a guarantee that you never get in church. I am guaranteeing you that you're going to have joy this morning. There's going to be a moment at the end that Dan doesn't even know about that I have planned for you all that you should experience genuine, true joy, and that's going to be 100% guarantee. If I'm wrong, you can tell me.
You just pointed the fan at me. I've got my joy already.
Yes, you're happy. I know. That's my gift to you.
Why is it not worth it?
Keep you away. So we're going to talk about a few things this morning. We're going to talk about joy in street tacos, of course. We're going to talk about joy in suffering. Joy in a story that I'm going to tell you, and joy in a surprise at the end that you all are now waiting for. All right. Now, we all know this, that a good street taco, Alejandro, you're a fan of street tacos, aren't you? Yes, I know. And so I think a number of us are, but we know from experience that those can make us happy, right? Well, I believe this, and I think I can prove it to you today, that not only can street tacos make us happy, but they can bring us spiritual joy. You think so? Something that like unbelievers can't experience that's just unique to us believers that we can find in street tacos. So there's a few things that I need to tell you before we get there until I can prove my point on that. And first of all, joy comes from God. We know this. We know that the God of hope is the one who fills us with all joy and all peace. He's the one that does that. We know that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And this is key because joy isn't something that we produce, that we, you know, squeeze out of our, it's not something that, it's something that God gives us. It's not something that comes out of us. Thank you for laughing, Russ. Joy is more than just happiness. So I had to look for a definition of joy. What's fun about this is I can make up my definition of joy and then prove my point about street tacos. So it's more than just happiness, but what is it? So I took a look online to see what kind of definitions there are out there for biblical joy, and this is what I came up with. It's a kind of putting a few things together, because I wasn't satisfied with the definitions that were out there, and I wanted something short. Joy is a deep-rooted, inspired happiness that comes from experiencing God's presence and goodness. I think that's a solid definition of joy. It's a deep-rooted, it's an inspired happiness. What's interesting about Scripture is in our Bibles, happiness or happy is mentioned just like 10 times in the Bible. I don't know how accurate this is, but you know, the internet's always accurate. And the word joy or rejoice, 430 times. Isn't that interesting? So those words, joy and rejoice, are much bigger in our lives than happy and happiness. And we know this, that joy is found in the presence of God. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I had to think about this because it's not in my language to say, wow, you know, yesterday I really felt like I was in the presence of God. I know some people say that, and that's something that they do. And so when it comes to joy, that's not language that I use. That's not something that I picture of, wow, I was in the presence of God. But I know there's something there, and I know I've experienced joy. So how does that actually work? It made me think about it. And this is what I came up with. God is in this. There's something about an experience where I know God is in this, and I feel His goodness, His love, and design. I did that. It makes the word glad. But the thing that I like about this is that's when I experience joy. It's like I'm having a street taco, or I'm with a friend, and it's like, this is more than just a street taco and the friend. There's something in this that's divine, that has God's goodness, love, and design in it. So again, is there joy in street tacos? Amen. But the thing that I see in that is that if you think about the street taco, do you know how many ingredients are in a street taco? There can be like over a dozen. And really great things. So, I mean, there's like meats and cheeses. You can have shrimp or, you know, like fantastic things. All created by a very creative God for our pleasure. So if you're eating a street taco and you're thinking about the goodness of God, it can take you from happiness into joy. It can inspire a deeper level of happiness. I believe that. Because street tacos really are filled. Yes, they are filled with the goodness, love, and design of God. All right. Joy gives us strength. This is a sacred day before the Lord. Don't be dejected and sad. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we hear that a lot, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's for the dejected and sad. And so we talk about joy in things that make us happy, but we also have to see if my definition works when things are bad and when there's suffering. Can there be joy in suffering? Can there be joy in suffering? And you all know this verse. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And so I think this is a typo. I don't think in the original Greek they had the word joy and trials in the same sentence. Or maybe they did. Maybe that's intentional. We'll go with intentional. But the thing that's interesting about that is it's saying that when we are in trials, we should, like, there's a joy connection with that. Well, how does that work? And I think, again, I'm going to tell you a story a little bit about Johnny Erickson Tada, because she really connects joy with her suffering. You guys know who Johnny Erickson Tada is? Raise your hand if you've heard of her. If you haven't, I'm going to tell you about her. So in 1967, Johnny was 17 years old, and she went to the beach with her sister. And there was some water that they dived into at the beach, and of course it was too shallow, and she broke her neck and was a quadriplegic for the rest of her life. Now this woman knows suffering like nobody that I know. I don't think there's an equal. Because not only has she been a quadriplegic, but of course she dealt with depression, right? That's big. And then on top of that, And this is the, those of you who know who she is, you may not know her more recent story, but she has also struggled with chronic pain on a phenomenal level. And it's a little better now than it was, but she went for about 10 years of just unbelievable physical pain, chronic pain, that they couldn't figure out how to relieve. And then, did you guys know she came down with COVID?
No.
Yes, and she was hospitalized with COVID. And the reason she's hospitalized is because we can breathe by like adjusting our body to breathe. She couldn't do that. And so she's better now, she's out of the hospital, but for her to get COVID, we already have lung issues. I mean, she knows suffering, right? Anybody doubting that? No, I don't see any hands. No, we're not doubting that. But she has a phenomenal grasp on joy. And here's what I'm going to tell you about joy and suffering. It can happen in three different ways. One way that we can experience it is in it, and she does that. She has had moments in pain on her bed where she has just felt the presence of God, His goodness, His love, and His design in her bed suffering. And that's one way you can experience it. She's godlier than the rest of us, so we're going to give her that. But another way that I think we can experience joy in suffering is after we've suffered. We've gone through something horrific. We've gone through a trial. We've gone through something. And then we get out of it and we look back and we go, God was good in that. God's love was in that and God's design was in that. And that's a way that I think we can experience joy in our suffering, is by looking backwards. I think another way is to have hope. The Bible talks a lot about hope and joy being connected, the joy of hope. I know that Jesus, you know, he endured the cross because of the hope, because of what was, you know, set before him. Like, there was good stuff. And so I think that's another way that we can experience joy and suffering. So joy and suffering, you guys got the three ways. In it, if you're godly, like Johnny Erickson Tata. Afterwards, if it takes you a little while to connect with it. Or in the hope of what can happen, in the hope of what God can do. So her and her husband were, they had a really bad season of this, and her husband sat on her bed one day and just said, I can't do this anymore. I can't deal with the quadriplegia. I can't deal with you being in pain. Like, I'm done. I can't, not gonna leave her done, but he just had nothing left in him to do this. And Johnny's been in those places too. I'm just done. And they were trying to describe what that kind of suffering felt like, and they said this: suffering is like little splashes of hell. Little splashes of hell. When you're suffering, it felt to them just like a little splash of hell. But what are splashes of heaven? Finding Jesus in your little splashes of hell. And Johnny says this: finding Jesus in your hell is ecstasy beyond compare. And something that she did that's interesting is she went to the Holy Land with her husband, and they found the pool of Bethesda. You know, she's sitting at it. For some reason, she said in this story that people just kind of walked away from it. They had other things going on. Her husband was trying to get some research done on it. And she was by herself at the Pool of Bethesda, a place where people had experienced healing in the past, or so it was said. You know, like, it was a powerful place. She wanted to be here. She prayed about this place, prayed for healing. And instead, she found herself on this day thanking the Lord for His design in her life, thanking Him for the suffering, thanking Him for the ministry that it created for her. She is part of Johnny and Friends, who deals with people who have different limitations. They go out to Twin Rocks Camp, a whole bunch of them, like all over the world, that come in, and they're finding Christ through her ministry and from what God is doing through her suffering. So it's powerful. It's powerful. But isn't that interesting that she's sitting at that pool, and instead of one more time praying for healing, is thanking God for His design and His goodness and love. So, can there be suffering, joy in suffering? Yes. Yes, there is goodness, love, and design in that. Now I'm going to tell you a true story about someone in this room who doesn't know that I'm going to tell a story about them. I've told this story to you before, but I also know that there's people in here who haven't heard this. Poor Tana, she's going to hear this. It's you. I know, but here it is. But it's such a good example of joy that came to our church. So Tana came to our church many years ago, before family, before she was married, and she wasn't a Christian. How many of you know Tana's story from before she was a Christian? Here. Okay, good. There's a bunch of you that haven't heard this. So Tana's in our church, and Annette brought her. Thank you, Annette. We really appreciate that, wherever you are. She's teaching. And Tana was in our church, and Tana just dived into community. But she didn't have what she needed at that point to really receive Christ. There was some stuff in her heart that she had to work through. Normal people take about 6 months, right, Erica? That's about what it took for you. But Tana had to take 4 years. Four stinking years. So she, in that time, had hundreds of meals with us. Like, she was in the band, so probably a couple hundred meals in my home, at least, you know. And she had people that loved her. She was in community. She was singing worship songs, like singing these truths that we wanted to have penetrate her heart. You know, we really wanted that. And we were waiting. And I know that we had conversations with her. December had conversations with her about Christ. Dan did. Like, I mean, she was loaded with stuff, but it just wasn't time. But we kept her around because she was faithful and she was nice and we liked her. And then the interesting thing happened is I went to dinner. Tana was there for lunch, and it was at that, there's like an Asian place over by Red Robin on Canyon Road. Bowler, you were there for this. And Tana said, she's just casually, we're talking about everything. She said, well, I was walking my dog and I asked Jesus into my heart. And I'm like, what? You asked, what? You know, and she couldn't understand. There's a little bit of like, why is this an overreaction on Beth's part? But I'm like, you what? She goes, well, I was walking my dog and I asked Jesus into my heart. And she said, I said, what made you do that? Like, what's your thinking in that? And she said, well, it's like I had, you know, because we don't just celebrate things, we need to know why. She said, it was like I was collecting all these bones, all these truths. And she goes, I know it sounds weird, but it's like all these bones just kind of came together, took on flesh, and came alive. And I'm like, it's not weird, that's Ezekiel. She's like, what's Ezekiel? but that's her story, that part is her story. But the reason I'm sharing this with you is, can you imagine the joy in Zej when we found out that Tana had accepted Christ? The joy for waiting for that for so long was so exciting. And what's cool is there was joy in heaven. I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons that need no repentance. And what I liked about that joy is the joy that we have here can be in harmony with what's the joy in Christ. Pretty nifty. All right. Gotta make it go this way. Oh, there we go. Okay, so you guys all see that God's design and goodness, love, and design in Tana's life. So I did two things to keep up with COVID and try and keep myself centered with the trials that are, you know, upon us in these hard times. And one thing that I did in the last few months, just since I've done different exercises like this, but since May, June, July, August, so just those months, I made two lists at home. I made a list of things that are life-giving to me and life-sucking to me. And I've been keeping these lists going, and I just keep adding to them. And the things that are life-giving are really things that bring me joy. They're greater than happiness, are things that really bring me joy. And so when I knew I was gonna do this message, I pulled out my list because I wanted to see how much of my joy comes from you guys. So I did some math on this. You like stats? Here's the stats on my joy. I have 55 life-giving things, 12 life-sucking things, and 39 of my life-giving things are directly related to City's Edge. You guys are responsible for 71% of my joy. That's on you. So the goal for City's Edge is to raise this number to 90%. No. You need to step it up. But it was interesting just to see how much joy comes from you guys and your stories. How significant that is to me, that's life-giving to me. Now, I told you I had a surprise that Dan doesn't even know about, and that surprise is gonna come up here because this is my 100% guarantee that you're gonna have some joy. But how this surprise happened is last week when I came to church, I got a text before I came to church. Dan, can you get a mic ready for her?
If I can find one.
So before I came to church, it was 9:38 in the morning, I got this text. Beth, when I get to church, I need to tell you something. I need to tell you how God is working. It is huge. And I was so excited. I'm like, I want to tell Dan. I'm like, no, I'm going to wait. She's got to do it in front of the church so we can all have this guaranteed joy. So we're going to take a minute and hear from Ronnie.
Okay. So how many of you were here when I shared my story? Okay. So when I shared my story, as of May 31st, I hadn't talked to or seen my two oldest children in 5.5 years. And I had just signed the papers for Maddie to be adopted. Since Metal Sunday, after sharing my story, Maddie's adoption has been finalized. And I also decided that I needed to go through my steps again for a second time. 2 weeks ago, I was on my fourth step, and this time around, it was super deep. God really started working on my abandonment issues, the abandonment I felt from others, and the abandonment that I projected onto my kids. It led me to literally on my face crying out to the Lord, confessing some deep-seated stuff, and just praying hard over my children. I felt like I finally surrendered my children. I had given the Lord about 95% of my life, but was still holding on to that 5% behind my back. My 5% is my children. I hadn't trusted God at all with my kids. Well, He's been working hard at me on this area, and I finally handed them over. Crying uncontrollably, I just handed them over, and I had a couple days after that were super intimate with the Lord and just crying with Him. But the next day, I got a message from my daughter, from my 13-year-old. Emma had found me. She found me on Pinterest, and a message that came through saying, "Mom, I miss you every day. I think about you every single day, and I love you, and I can't wait to be with you." So for this last week, my heart has been overflowing with tears of joy. Just an overwhelming, thankful heart. I've been in contact with Emma all week, listening to her tell me all about her life. She's 5'7". I can't even imagine that right now. but I feel like when I finally surrendered something so dear to my heart, surrendered my children with no expectation of getting anything back, the Lord blessed me 100-fold. So out of all the things that we've talked about this week, my favorite thing was Emma asked me, "Mom, do you think I'm going to have to wait until I'm 18 to see you?" And I said, "I don't know, honey. I don't know what the court papers say anymore. But what I do know is that we have a God that is so much bigger than any court or any court papers. So we just got to keep praying, baby." And she says, "I will, Mom. I pray for you all the time." Yeah. So Emma sent me that picture right there. She said, so her dad unfortunately took every photo of me out of their baby albums. But Emma found this one and sent it to me. And then every morning she sends me a selfie of a half heart and I send her one back. So, yeah. That's my, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Was that worth it? Was that joy for you? Like, is that going on your life-giving list? So, normal people do an application time. I'm just going to give you all a to-do list. It's more efficient that way. So here's your to-do list. Go ahead and make two lists at home. It's kind of interesting to see and to note the things that are life-giving and life-sucking. Number two is don't eat street tacos the same way again. When you eat a street taco, I want you to start thinking about joy. I want you to think about God's creation. Seriously, if you're in a street taco, you're like, I have to do something. I don't remember what it was, but you know, I want you to have that pause and confusion. And then third, I want you to pray for Ronnie and her kids.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say a blessing over you guys, and then Grant's going to come up and do some questions. May we live, God, in your goodness, love, and design, in the good times and in times of suffering. May we find our joy and strength in your presence, and may we always know in our hearts that there is more. May we abide in your love and keep your commands so that our joy may be full. And may we love each other as you have loved us. Amen.
Amen.
There's my boy.
Thank
the questions are actually on slides this time, so...
Are they? Let me see if I can find them.
Yeah,
you got control?
Yeah, I have a real control that my mom likes to use.
All right.
Okay, first question, which I'm finding out about right now. What is something that has made you happy or brought you joy this last week? Something that has made you happy or brought you joy in this last week? Debbie.
The moment my back popped into place.
You gotta use the mic. We're gonna use the mic.
The moment my back popped back into place.
Nice. We also have a microphone now. I see Chris is up next. But yeah, I guess we're doing microphones because it'll help people find a little bit more. Jaren's our runner.
Brad.
Yeah.
Brad.
That's a lot of effort to say one word. What's important? All right, who else do we have? I'm like super blind in my pants. Kathy, we have Kathy next. Runner to Kathy.
We're gonna do two microphones in the future.
Eating a deluxe Chick-fil-A sandwich inside.
Yes. Me too.
I like that spicy chicken.
Yeah, the spicy chicken deluxe is really good.
It's like the perfect chicken sandwich.
It really is.
Doesn't do anything.
I got to be there when Alejandra got her 60-day chip. Nice job.
Having my little granddaughter reach up and ask for me.
Oh, that's sweet. Anything else that has brought you joy? If not, I'm assuming that there's just nothing joyful in your life. It's not sad.
Caricature is pretty joyful.
Who has the microphone?
Jaren.
Your grandmother.
Okay, I'm over 70. I passed my driver's license test again.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Grace has something.
The joy that I had was that not only did Debbie's back pop back into place, which is awesome, but she came down with a cold. We're a little concerned about COVID. And she's fine. She got a little cold. Done. Yay.
Okay. I got back to dance, finally, and that brought me a lot of joy.
That's awesome. All right, we have David.
Yeah. Annette had her birthday Tuesday, and we got to go to Stanford's, which hasn't been open for a really long time. And got to have, you know, the ribs and so forth at Stanford's, which are wonderful. And afterwards, we got to go to the Arcade 2084 in downtown Beaverton, and it was a great time. I mean, they had all the old school stuff.
So what I'm hearing is you had a birthday bash that, like, would be my kind of birthday bash.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I bet you would have enjoyed going.
All right.
You have a second question?
And I won't tell you what
we're
going to
do. We're going to just do Nora up here, and then we're going to do our next question.
I went camping last week, and I went to the fair.
Can't hear you. I couldn't hear you.
I went camping last week.
Slower isn't better. Just
I
lower.
Went to the Washington County Fair.
Yeah. I went to the Washington County Fair, too, with Brad and Chris. And Chris was really adamant about getting hypnotized because there's a hypnotist that they did. He was in too deep and he wasn't hypnotized, so he had to fake it all the way through.
Did he crack up a chicken?
Yeah.
Alrighty, next question. How has City's Edge or its people brought you joy? Let's keep an eye out, Jaren.
Actually, yeah, there we go. Now we get real volume because I know how to use a microphone.
Yes.
I'm just not afraid of the sound of my own voice, and that's a problem. I shared this with Zach last week, but I'll say it in front of everybody because I love that guy. There's something that happens when you're in a band with other people and you make connections that go beyond words and even beyond the music to where you begin to think the same way about things. And there are times when I'll look at him and I know exactly what's happening in his head, and he'll look at me and he'll know what's happening in my head. And those moments transcend friendship, it transcends music, and it is such an important part of what I love doing in the worship team. So I really appreciate the friendship and relationship and the bond that I've been able to build. Just, I mean, with the whole worship team, but because Zach stands right there and we do so much of the same things together, it's stronger there because the magnets are closer.
I don't know how to talk in the same, but...
You're not as loud as you think you are.
Put it right on your shoulder.
You're right there. Right next to your mouth.
All right. Steve Ish brought me joy because it brought Russ and I to church, to a place where we feel at home, and Russ feels at home. And so many of your faces we saw at our wedding, and you helped out. And those that I couldn't invite because we were limited because of COVID, I wanted all of you there, just know. And it was the most joyful time to look out at the crowd of my people that had attended for Russ and I, and to know that we were loved so much. So thank you. And all the helpers that worked and just sweat. I saw sweat on Rex's back and after it was over, and you and it just everyone pitched in. It was wonderful. It was just a beautiful day for Russ and I.
That was fantastic.
Acceptance in the way that the church is there for you when you need that. Like when my son died and different things have happened, there's just total acceptance.
That's good. Also got Kathy over there.
Good job, Jaren.
Go, Jaren, go.
Go, Jaren. Woohoo! He's getting steps.
I was thinking again this morning how wonderful it is to sing to a live band and to be able to just feel like you're surrounded by the worshipful sound. You can let go and do whatever. You don't have to worry that your voice is going to crack or something. It's wonderful. And I really, really appreciate it. And there are dozens of other things about City's Edge that bring me joy. But that occurred to me again this morning.
Awesome.
Aaron kind of took mine. Aaron. mine is also about the band. I also... Raising kids here was tremendously joyful, knowing that they were coming here and, I don't know, kind of being churched the right way. And not just with a great foundation, but with the goal of longevity, because a lot of churches have great youth groups and then they lose those youths when you have to switch from a really fun, playful, you know, camp-style youth group, and then just go to a boring adult church. And we don't have that here. And my kids all still go to church, and they still all have hearts for Jesus. So I love the support that you get as a parent here. It's kind of unmatched in my experience.
Jason.
I just want to make him run. Yeah. So for me, it's definitely every Wednesday night. Obviously, music is a huge thing for me, but it's not even about the music on Wednesday nights. It's just the fellowship. To be able to come and just be with other band members and the youth that are there, it's what gets me through the week. The weeks that I don't have a Wednesday night church group to go to, it's definitely lacking and harder to get to Sunday to get me rejuvenated and excited again. So I just thank each and every one of you guys for your part and bring me joy.
S-
So I have never been in a church out of all my different church experiences where spirituality is done in a way that's so casual and natural, and people are coming to Christ. I mean, genuinely coming to Christ and laying down their lives. And you know, I've been in churches where you'd sat in church and the pastor said, raise your hand. Oh, I see, you know, so-and-so in the back row. But I've never really believed him. You know, it was like, don't turn around. Don't anybody turn around. I'm like, but are you just faking me? But I'm seeing really lives changed here. And that is a huge miracle. It's just, it's awesome. And it's because it's a natural spirituality. It isn't churchy and weird. It's real. So that's what I love about it. That gives me joy.
All right, we'll take Russ, and then we'll go on to our last question.
Mine's also semi-band related. But it's not all band related, but basically most of you know I've been through several really bizarre chapters of my life, and they've all been pretty much mostly here. And no matter what, anything happens, when like my life gets, when everything gets knocked out from under me and I end up flat on my face, I'm still here, and you guys always help me pick myself up. That's only happened once, but pick me up, brush me off, and help me move back in the right direction. And then when things are going really good in my life, you guys have always been there to you know, support me and celebrate the victories of my life as well. And then the reason it's band-related is because I was gone for, what, 5 years or something? I mean, I wasn't out sinning or anything. I just married a psychopath. But anyway, so when I came back, I went to church, and then Dan asked me to be back in the band again. I showed up for practice on Wednesday night, and I go, wow, I've been gone a long time. And he goes, no, you haven't. It's like you were never gone. You always belong here. I just felt really connected. Like, I just really belonged, and like, everybody in the band was just acting like I was here the whole time. Like, I wasn't gone for 5 years. And I just, like, clicked right back in like a little puzzle piece. And I just feel very at home here. And it made me really happy when I brought my beloved bride here and introduced her to everybody. And everyone just loved her immediately. And she just loved everybody. And she fits in that little puzzle piece, too. So there.
Okay, we're going to move on to our...
No!
No sinner for you.
I don't know what the questions are.
Let's see if we can... There we go.
Okay.
We got a signal back.
How did you experience joy and suffering?
One time when Kenza's hamster died, I felt bad for her, but I was happy because God was speaking to her about another hamster who needed a home.
In 1980, I got into a tussle with a patient at the state hospital where I was working, and got fired and got charged with assault. Had to go to court. Had to, my uncle slash attorney said that he thought a jury trial was appropriate. And so with great misgivings, I went to jury trial and was convicted, with the result that, you know, I had to pay a fine and I lost my career, but it was really, you know, I felt like I had disgraced my father's name and I had disgraced the Lord, and I had, you know, I just felt like my life was a house and I was in the basement and the house collapsed on me. And people say that when they have an experience like that, the first thing they do is check themselves out to see if they're still alive. I can't even tell if I'm alive. And I checked myself out and I realized I was alive. And not only was I alive, but Jesus was right there with me. He was completely unfazed by all of it. And that brought me a tremendous joy. I even made a song up, and someday I'll drag it out and make you listen to it.
When I work at a youth shelter, so when I work with kids, sometimes some of them will come to me and mention a concern they have, and I am able to talk with them about it because I have the same experience, and they feel extra connected, and they feel like they could keep coming back to me and talk about it in more detail. So that gives me joy.
Thank you, sir.
So I got let go from my career when I was doing security downtown because I refused to wear a gun and do things that I thought were socially stupid at, in a public space. So I was crushed because I'd been doing it for 10 years and it was like my ministry, my identity. But it opened a door for me to have time to record an album, and that gave me great joy. So God opened another door.
I painted automobiles for 22 years till it started to kill me. And I was in a very dark place and somewhat suicidal. And God gave me a new career, which was far better than what I was doing. So he came through for me, and that was just wonderful.
It's kind of a sad story, but a good story. I hadn't talked to my dad in 2 years, and I got a call that he was passing away from my mom, and I still didn't believe it because we were at odds. And the joy that I got out of the whole experience is the last month he was alive, I got to be with him, I got to help care for him, and some people that'd be hard for, but I got a lot of joy from the fact that the last breath and the moment he took in his life, I got to see his eyes, my mom and I did. I was in that room when he went to Jesus, and I know he went to God.
This is kind of what I was referring to earlier, but I won't make it long. In 2014, I was falsely accused of assault and domestic violence and drunk driving. I was arrested, and I spent the week I spent in jail, by the time I got out of jail, I literally lost everything. My house, my truck, my wife, my job. Every dime I had in the bank was gone, and I literally had exactly nothing. And I had gone to stay with my friend. I couldn't even go to my house. So I was staying with a friend of mine, and I was like, this sucks. I can't make money. I can't go to work. I can't drive anywhere. I can't do anything. And I was just completely at God's mercy. And I was just like, I can't do this. And so my buddy and his wife had gone to work, and I was there in the middle of the living room, and I was just like, God, I can't do this. I'm not prepared to deal with what you've put in front of me. I can't do it. And he said, I know, I got you. And then my phone rang, and it was Dan. And he's like, hey, I was just praying for you. Are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm not okay, not even a little bit. He goes, can you get to Beaverton? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, well, if you can't, I guess I'd come get you, but yeah, get to Beaverton, and we'll figure it out. And then so I got to Beaverton, and then he took me to the living room. He said, here, talk to Beth. God loves you, Beth has a plan for your life. But this church, everyone just, you know, I got up that year and shared my testimony. You might have heard what happened, but there was joy in that because there was this one time where I was sitting here and I was watching the worship band, and they were doing that song, Blessed Be Your Name, the one where, you know, everything sucks, but praise the Lord anyway. And I was sitting here, and I was just like falling my face off because I was just, everything sucked. And then I looked up on the worship team, and then December had made eye contact with me, and all of a sudden she starts bawling her face off because I'm bawling my face off. And that kind of brought me joy because it's like, okay, not to make you cry, December, but you were feeling my pain with me, and that just like, that really felt, you know, just like that connection thing. And it brought me joy. And then I got to spend a couple of weeks at your guys' house, and a couple of weeks at their house, and their house, and like, Beth just passed me around the church, and I got to go couch surfing for about 6 months until I got my feet back up underneath me. But the end of the story is that I pled guilty to one of the charges for them to drop the other charge. So even though I was innocent of both of them, I actually pled guilty to misdemeanor assault, so they dropped the DUI charge and gave me my license back, because having my CDL license is worth more than a stupid assault charge. But anyway, there was my suffering, and there was joy in it, lots and lots of joy.
The night my grandpa died, we were all sitting around his bed and we were singing songs, and it just kind of felt beautiful, and it gave me a little bit of hope and put things in perspective.
A lot of the people here don't know any of my story, but as a child, I was a foster child, and I left the foster care system to go into a Christian commune, which was very cultish. But it taught me a lot about the Lord, and it brought me to the Lord, which in turn brought me here.
Yeah, so even today, getting to see Jaren run all over the place. Doug or December, and then Don and Erica, in that order. But seriously, when I was having my back issues, recovering from that, just the support from everyone, that really helped me get through it, and it showed the love of God through the church to me. So, Doug, December, Don, Erica, you guys are up.
I think in ease of making Jared not actually run around to the suggestion of Bowler, we'll close off today. I'll just close this in prayer. Thank you all for your wonderful answers. Thank you, God, for this church. Thank you for our time here. I pray that you will help us understand your joy. Help us understand the joy through your suffering, through hardships, through the good things, through the bad things, before and after all of that, God, help us know what it really is, and not just the world's version of joy. Help us know your joy, and help us be able to share it with others, and encourage others. Please, God, encourage us. Thank you for the incredible blessing of connection that you gave Ronnie back with her daughter. Thank you so much for that, and just help that flourish, and help us just support her, just as a church, just glorify you, and share your joy, God. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Okay, stop this.